3.
BBC Proms. Every concert, live on BBC Radio 3. And get the iPlayer radio app to listen to the Proms offline, wherever and whenever you want.
For 30 days.
Well, back to this Friday, and this morning, Petroc Trelawney was at the Cornish seaside to present the Radio 3 breakfast show live from Mullion Cove Harbour, with the National Trust asking the great British public to record and upload their favourite seashore sounds to create an online sound map of our coastline as part of their Sounds of Our Shores project. Radio 3 joined in to create a bit of coastal noise of its own. As well as the seagulls, Petroc was joined by a local shanty choir singing live, and he also played plenty of your sea-related requests. The Radio 3 breakfast with a difference, and if you'd like to catch up with it, it'll be there like everything else here on Radio 3 on the website for the next 30 days. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 on FM. We're on DAB digital radio, and we're live online in HD sound. It's just gone a quarter to midnight, and time now for this week's World on Three, which brings highlights from last weekend's WOMAD Festival in Charlton Park in Wiltshire. The programme is presented by Lopa Katari and Mary Ann Kennedy.
Well, the abiding memory of WOMAD 2015 is going to be, I think, not so much the music as the hundreds and hundreds of bobbing and bopping umbrellas as the rain came storing down for much of the weekend. But they wouldn't have been that energetic if the music hadn't been worth it. It was a great weekend at Charlton Park in Wiltshire, and Lopa Katari and myself, Mary Ann Kennedy, are here to bring you some of the highlights. And highlights there were, Lopa.
Oh, yes, indeed. Welcome to World on Three. And if the Festival Arena didn't quite hit the trench-like mud of 2007, it was still a mark of the devotion of the audiences to their music that they were so supportive of all the stages. I mean, 2007, and I was there, was a year of lost wellies, plastic bags on feet, and 24-hour tractor service for saving man and machine from the sticky clay. Well, this year, frankly, a mere drizzle in comparison.
But it was still pretty grim if you were camping or if you were out and caught in the downpour and watching some of the open-air stages. So,
I know. I mean,
respect to the audiences, yeah, as well as the musicians who were playing in the freezing cold.
And there was no let-up. I mean, Friday, it began before anybody got up, and it stopped after everybody had gone to bed, no matter what time. But we're going to start tonight's highlights. I mean, for me, one of the big bands that I'm really, really thrilled about, it's called Ezza, you know, kind of new wave desert rock.
We'll be right back.
A whole new take on desert rock from Ezra, a fantastic band who are on our stage on the second day of this year's festival at WOMAD. You are listening to Marianne Kennedy and myself, Lopa Kotari, with highlights from WOMAD 2015 here on World on 3. But you may have heard in the background, at the top of this programme, a little giggle coming from the corner of the studio. And it is because we have been joined by music writer and traveller, Andy Morgan, who knows more than a thing or two about Tuareg music. Welcome, Andy. How fantastic to sit with you and just talk about some of the highlights that you've had over the festival.
It's my pleasure. And it's warm here as well.
That's the only reason you're here.
It is.
Oh, well, Ezra, I mean, you really are quite an aficionado of the music that comes out of the desert, Andy. And I kind of tread gingerly here. I rather liked Ezra.
No, Ezra are brilliant. Ezra represents a new generation, the children of Tinariwen, but also the children of Takris Nakal, which was the equivalent band in Niger. And it's rawer, it's harder, it's pared down. It sounds quite clean here, but when you hear it sounding in the desert, it really, really sounds. It's like it's been through the shredder, that sound, you know. But it's what everyone dances to, you know. When people have wedding, when you have that kind of gathering out in the desert, that is the kind of music you'll probably hear. Yeah.
We had some great new African spirit in the festival this year, didn't we?
Absolutely. There were some amazing young voices, but some great elder statesmen and women as well, I have to say. I'm going to defend the silver foxes here too.
No, but it's not. I don't think it's a case of defending one against the other. I think the young sound is really, really exciting. Some of the bands we're going to cover, I think, for me, really represent that.
WOMAD's often about hearing bands that you may have come across in very recent times, but the first chance, perhaps, to hear them playing live. And you've been following the emergence and the evolution of one of the bands that were making their WOMAD debut this year. But it's not a first appearance for core members of Mbongwana Star. That Coco and Teo were the wheelchair toting and dancing and spinning stars of Staff Benda Bilili, sadly no longer. But they were one of the most exciting bands to come out of Kinshasa in a long time. Kinshasa was like a real hotbed of music, and then everything went belly up on so many levels. What is it, you think, that's allowing the music to come through the chaos that is that city and make its mark again?
Well, from what I understand, when you push a people too far, there's almost something positive that comes out of it. And one of the positive things is, like, we can't depend on anyone else. And there's a real spirit in Kinshasa right now of DIY. We've got to do stuff with whatever we can find here. We've got to make our own guitars. We've got to make our own weird instruments. Apparently there's this whole street called Rue Cato. I haven't been there. But the whole street is people getting scrap and making just crazy instrument, all works of art, all the weirdest things,
even
the weirdest happenings.
The cover of Mbongwana Star's album is this slightly surreal picture of a kind of do-it-yourself astronaut. And
is a guy called from Rue Cato who's called the Congo astronaut. and I asked one of the guys involved, I said, so what's he about? And he said, yeah, you know, he just decided that the moment was to dress up as an astronaut and just walk around.
Why not?
He's a happening, you know. He's a Congo happening. And that is the spirit.
There's an element of that in the music as well, then, because when a band has, not even an element of success, it was a really successful band. It made its mark. It really hit home with the story of how they came together and the fantastic music that they made. It's real street music made good and been able to reach a bigger audience. And that goes west with Staff Benda Bilili.
Who are still around, actually. Yeah.
But doing their own thing without Coco and Teo. They're the ones that have had to go away and think, well, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And it's not, well, you can't rely on that. We've got to do it ourselves.
Absolutely. And you see, the thing for me, it's slightly controversial, but the presence of Liam Farrell, a.k.a. Dr. L, who's this son of an Irish painter who grew up in Paris and has become a big name on the kind of Parisian electro hip hop, but more and more in African. And he did that classic Tony Allen album, Black Voices. Mm. And actually, Mbongwana Star is a collision between him and what's happening out there. And in fact, what he brought along really surprised the musicians, because what happened is that they did some recordings in really raw circumstances, and he took it back to Paris and he cooked it up. And when it went back to Kinshasa, I mean, I've interviewed Teo and Coco about it, and I kind of said, go on, guys, go on, come clean. What did you really think when you heard that? And they went, well, in the beginning, it was a bit difficult. But we were dancing with like 1 hour, you know. And it very quickly dawned. And what I really find exciting is that the younger musicians, incredible guitarist, R9, that's his name. Apparently he was the ninth child of his parents or something. And the drummer. And those two are completely picking up on what Liam Fallon is bringing to the table. So it's not an artificial thing. It's people inspiring and feeding across generations. Because, to be honest, Coco and Teo are of the classic Soukous Congolese rumba generation. That's the music they totally
revere. That's the music they adored,
that
yes.
That is the music they adore and revere, in which they played in staff. Pretty much the same, beautifully presented, and with the little plucky thing by, you know, that was played by Roger.
But on stage, Andy, they aren't the same two people anymore, are they? They are completely remade, rejuvenated. I mean, there's a new blood, a new spirit running
completely,
through them.
Completely. And I thought that some of R9's guitar playing, I just was saying, friends, it reminds me of The Fall, you know, this English kind of alternative punk in-your-face Manchester band. It sounds like that, and it's a big city feeling, and that's what Kinshasa is. And when you see Theo's, did you see his sunglasses? They were stunning. I mean, the sense of style those guys have is just incredible.
Well, that is another big Kinshasa thing as well, of course. Well, let's listen. And you picked the very words that I'd written down about them. Let's listen to this Afro-European collision as Mbongwanga Sarr took to the Siam stage on WOMAD Saturday.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
A riot of sound, movement and howling guitars. I think we're all agreed here, aren't we, that Congolese new band in town, Bongwana Star, if they can stay the course and keep their focus, and they are going to go further and fly higher than Staff Bender Bilili ever did. And ex-members Coco and Teo, I mean, they never rose to the occasion like they did that night. I mean, their wheelchairs were spinning on a sixpence at the sort of centrifugal force. It was just amazing. And you know, Andy, I don't think I ever saw an audience take to a relative unknown, you know, with quite such a resounding yes.
And this, for me, is something that a lot of people get wrong about WOMAD. I know a lot of bands who say, we won't play WOMAD because we're rock bands, we're indie bands, that's not our audience. But what they don't understand is that WOMAD have spawned a kind of WOMAD baby phenomenon, all of whom are now kind of 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. They'll go and see Jazzy B, they'll dance to Daddy G, and then when they see Mbongwana Star, they recognise what they listen to every day completely, and so they go wild, you know, and that's exactly what was happening. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it's the Big Red Tent is no longer just their domain. They're up at the Siam and taking that all in. The same thing happened with the Soil, the young trio from South Africa. We're with Andy Morgan. You're listening to Mary Ann Kennedy and Lopa Katari, the three of us looking back over WOMAD 2015. Remember, there's plenty more to enjoy from the festival online in the world music pages of the Radio 3 website. Video, audio, pictures, some great performances from right across the weekend, and you get to enjoy it all in the dry, unlike the Charlton Park audiences.
Yeah, and well, let's forget the rain for the moment. but if WOMAD began with the South African divas Mahotela Queens, the BBC Radio 3 compound was inaugurated by the Soil. Who you mentioned there, they launched BBC Radio 3's presence at WOMAD with a live trail into In Tune, serenading Sean Rafferty, which was quite a giggle, down the line, but they stayed on afterwards and did a session for us in our tent. This was a trio who sang classic a cappella harmonies, you know, real South African traditional style, but on this bed of absolutely sweet, gentle beatboxing. What a beautiful song there. Noma Unghama.
Yes, Noma Unghahamba.
Unghahamba. Sung and written by you guys, the modern sound of South Africa. And it's absolutely wonderful to have you three here. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Yes, I'm the beatboxer, Master P. Yeah, Pindo. I go by the name Pindo.
My name is Buhlebenda Lomda.
And my name is Ntsika, and together we make up a group called The Soil.
It's a great name. It's a great name for it. Where did you come up with the idea of calling yourselves The Soil?
We were very young and in high school. about 12 years ago. And back then, it didn't mean anything, really. We didn't really have a great, profound meaning to it. But as we grew up and as we continue having these thoughts and dreams, we realize that the soil as matter covers all ground and across the globe. And that's what we want to achieve with the music. And the soil is basic and it's raw, just like the type of music that we sing, which is a cappella, very much basic and raw. So the soil means a lot. When you say the soil, you know exactly that it must be associated with these three kids from from Soweto. So that's why we call ourselves the soil today.
And you said that you're all from Soweto.
Yes.
I mean, that's an incredible music heritage, South Africa anyway. But Soweto has this extra powerful musical force running through it. I mean, you must feel the burden, the heavy weight of your heritage.
Yeah, yeah? Definitely, definitely. Soweto has always been at the forefront when it comes to people that are way gifted beyond artistry. And I guess it's we attribute it to when people were displaced from Sophiatown into Soweto being one of the townships that creative bunch went to. So our forefathers, man, the people that came before us, they are the ones that in a way rubbed this gift onto us. So it's not really a heavy burden, but we know that we were born into greatness. We were born into these immaculate array of South African artists, and all we have to do is continue to do it from the most genuine parts of our hearts, like they did, the likes of your Mamire Makeba, your Hugh Masekela's, the list is endless, your Abigail Kubekas. So we are just carrying on with that heritage and making the most out of it and telling the most purest of stories.
What's the next song you're going to sing for us?
It's titled Andinanto. It's just a spiritual song because we are very much spiritual, and it sounds and feels like a prayer. So yeah, I hope people will definitely enjoy it.
So a song of the soil, from the soil.
Yes.
For people's souls.
Bye, don't
ngibaba wayindwana yamobaya nabonzelo nathina nto andinanto ambe sandeni bize wanye nkosi yam bize wanye nkosi yam
Soil from South Africa, three friends making great music together. I also saw them, Lopa, in action in one of the workshop tents. Now, they'd never led a workshop before. They asked the folks that were looking after them, what do you do in a workshop? And honestly, by the end of the hour that they had the crowd in the workshop tent, they had the whole place singing in harmony and a choir of singers from the audience, just individuals, they said any singers out there, brought them up onto the stage and they had them all soloing and freestyling over the audience harmonies. It was a beautiful thing altogether, entirely worth the special trip that they'd made just to come to WOMAD this year.
But it was just so lovely with the soil. I mean, three school kids with such passion. They're absolutely brilliant. But another fabulous voice was the absolute legend. Salif Keita did not call him the greatest singer in Mali for nothing. It is, of course, Kase Maide Diabate.
It was just beautiful, that suppleness of the voice. You know, he was named after his grandfather, Kase Maide. It means weep, Maide, because the grandfather was known as someone who had a voice that could move people to tears. And this man's grandson was the only man named after him. And so how perfect was it that this man that we're hearing now on the Siam tent stage would also have inherited his grandfather's ability to touch people's hearts so completely with his voice.
Soka soni, kanya sori ma Allah na mafaga kanya sori le ma jigini galo Donyo na sori ni boje na sori Kanya sori le ma go jigini maga Aha
Merci. Thank you. Merci. Sabalake, Sabalake Sisugo. Merci. Merci pour l'accueil.
Atale kuvarai kumba kanjon yona kawa kumara ya barete korola bagele koroba ya kanono jabana no ye kumara ya furu ya lola kale muzo ye kamale tegela kale no ka kumara ya sigi yogon yugun bela wisi bare ya kumba kanjon yona soro kamale bolla apale ma soro ye musoni dinda wale pe ko ya apale ma musoni boko kana kelebe ke chonga ninye ebi musoro kamale bolla ebi musoni dinda wale ke kola ye mana kele da mi afoye na ko furu yesa na foro ro kanu yesa na fanya na ko siji betge fanya na ko ade ya du
Furujugu tebe duru yaro, musojugu la sigi kute.
The great Malian singer Kassemadi Diabaté mesmerising the audience in the Siam tent on Friday night at WOMAD. This is World on 3 with Marianne Kennedy and Lopa Katari, bringing you highlights of the WOMAD 2015 World Music Festival and even more to enjoy online on the Radio 3 website. Just follow the World Music links. And of course, we have in the studio truck with us here Andy Morgan, who's been around for the whole weekend sampling the sights and sounds.
Our next highlight is actually Suad Massi. And you really are quite a great fan of hers, aren't you?
I am. I'm a completely great fan of hers. I mean, she represents for me a new generation of North African, of Arabic women who are kind of professional, savvy, very intelligent, very open. I mean, in a way, the fact that she's Algerian and that she comes from Algeria in some ways is incidental, whilst also being absolutely essential to who she is. But when you listen to her music, you know, she was more into Joni Mitchell and people like that when she was growing up than she was into quite a lot of the music that people know comes from Algeria, like Rai and things like that.
So. Her latest sort of foray into music is really quite a departure from what she's done before.
Absolutely. I mean, the origin of this whole project that she's on is really interesting, because the last record she made with Francis Cabrel. He's this famous kind of chanson guy, and it was very chanson. And yeah, you know, it would please people in France, a certain amount of people, but it didn't kind of really reach out. And actually, when I interviewed her for the sleeve note, she kind of admitted that. She said that was a bit of a deception, a lull, a low point, a bit of a slump, you know, creatively and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then she had this revelation, because she's a real night bird, Suad. She likes the nighttime. She said that when she was young, she used to spend a lot of time awake at night, kind of insomnia probably. But then she was watching TV just 4 o'clock in one morning, and she saw this program about Cordoba. And she just had this revelation about, you know, Arabic Al-Andalus, you know, medieval southern Spain, which was basically an Arabic-dominated quality most of the time, quite complex. But all the art and the history and the culture and the discourse and the freedom of discussion of that time sort of hit her between the eyes, and she sort of went on this mission to rediscover, to give new life to Arabic poems especially. There was recently a big conference in Algiers, the capital of Algeria, about Ibn Arabi, who's this famous Sufi mystic. And the report in the paper in El Watan, which is Suad's favourite paper, was, what can Ibn Arabi do about Daesh? And Daesh is the Arabic word for ISIS, for Islamic State. And so in a way, she's not a very political figure. She doesn't want to be. She just wants to be someone who just reveals what she says, beauty, the beauty of... But actually, this is a very political album, without wanting to be, because it's basically saying, you know, this is another discourse in Islam, you know.
But you know, that's why I think, it for me, I find it such a powerful album. She owns it. She, as you said, her previous album, it was somebody else's project with her beautiful voice.
Yeah.
This she really owns. I mean, it's not to everybody's taste, really, but, you know, she owns this. Mm. And she has this way of delivering kind of soft political activism. And I think she's got this delightful balance of getting a message across without ramming it down your throat.
Completely. And I think the song, I mean, I don't want to, you know, preempt the beginning of this song, but it's a poem by an Iraqi poet called Ahmed Matar, who has gone through all kinds of hell, you know, whether it's in Iraq or he was exiled to Kuwait and all this kind of thing. But the story in the song is fantastic, and it's kind of also a bit absurd and black comedy-ish, because it's basically about a teacher who starts teaching a class somewhere in the Arab world and says and writes the word freedom up on the blackboard. And his students are just completely puzzled. What is this word? Is it Greek? Is it something that's, you know, some new fad that's come from the outside? What is it? What is this thing, freedom? This is what the poem's saying. And in the end, he's at the end of the first verse, he says, it's heartbreaking to see the youth who understand nothing about freedom, who have neither sword nor pen or any idea of identity. You know, it's bang on the nail, really, and Suad gives it quite a punchy treatment.
Fantastically powerful way to finish World on Three and our look back at WOMAD 2015. You've been listening to World on Three with Lopa Katari and me, Marianne Kennedy. I'll be back with another shorter edition of World on Three next week. Thanks to all the BBC team who made our WOMAD safari a moist but very happy one, to Felix Carey producing tonight, and to our guest here in the studio, Andy Morgan. Thanks so much for being with us. We leave you then, perfectly set up by Andy there, with Suad Massi and El Huria. Good night. بالعربية هل هي
شباب وبنات ورجال عاشقوا الحرية يعلو شباب وبنات ورجال عاشقوا الحرية يعلو شباب وبنات ورجال عاشقوا الحرية إذا كانت الشعب بقية الشعب بقية
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. Concert from Cologne to set us on our way. Two different concerts, in fact, one from 2013, the other from last year. What they have in common is the Westdeutsche Rundfunk Orchestra Cologne. And fun, the Borodin Polovtsian dances, the Arutunjan trumpet concerto, jazz from Shostakovich, Dr. Zhivago from Maurice Jarre, and that's not the half of it. Keith Lockhart conducts, first of all, and music here by the Danish composer Jakob Gjedde, born in 1869 and best known for this piece, his gypsy tango Jealousy, first heard at the premiere of the American movie Don Q, Son of Zorro, starring Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Astor.